What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 165. Last episode of the year, presumably, unless there's some sort of emergency podcast. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe. Rate us 5 stars. It helps us out a ton. Leave a comment. Find us on YouTube on the WEEI channel. Subscribe to WEEI. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. Comment there, too. You can find us on the socials, at PlayTessie, on both Twitter and Instagram. Just me and Pat today. Sammy, I believe, is on the final... This episode and the next episode, Sammy's gone. And it's me and Pat. And then I believe Sammy will be back for the next one. But yeah, this is our first live recording since the holidays. This is now, instead of being a... two-thirds Jewish podcast, it's a one-half Jewish podcast today. Pat, how was your Christmas, man?
It was good. It was busy. We do a big thing Christmas Eve. We do a big thing Christmas morning. Big thing Christmas night. So I was busy, but it was a good time. It was nice to have work off, see family, and do all that fun stuff. How's Hanukkah going?
Oh, it's going. 8 crazy nights. That's what they say. Pat's looking good in his new Beats over-ear studio headphones. Dude's looking like a rock star. He's got his Sox hat, Sox sweatshirt, or pullover.
Oh,
ready to rock Sox. Oh, wait.
It's a little quarter zip windbreaker.
Oh.
With a hood. Oh, it's great.
It looks clean.
50 and raining. Sox quarter zip windbreaker.
Yeah, I was very willing to take a little bit of rain to give me at least like a little bit of a break from 20s. I'll tell you that.
Pat is clearly ready for Fenway Fest in 2 weeks when it's in the freezing cold Fenway Park.
That's coming up in two. Oh my God. We gotta set up our accommodations for that. Yeah. We're all going. Pat, you're going to that, right?
Yeah. Is it a Friday or a Saturday?
I'm not even sure. I think it's the 11th. Joe, are you coming?
I'm planning to be there. Hopefully, because I did a double check. It's 9 to 5, so 9 a.m. things start, 5 p.m. it all winds down. So hopefully, I can get everything set where I can join. We can have
a Saturday.
It is a Saturday.
Nice. Okay, that's good. Yeah. That'll be good.
So
yeah,
promotion for those out there. You want to go to Fenway Fest? You might get the full fledged Play Tessie crew there.
Hell yeah! People definitely will come to see the Play Tessie crew over the actual Red Sox players that are going to be there. We are definitely the selling force, but it'll be good. Yeah, we'll all be there. Come say hi if you see us there. But yeah, that thing's jumping off. I know it's not going to be the same as Winter Weekend. I don't think you can replicate like all the crazy fans that go to Springfield and the players getting drunk and gambling. Like, just you walk around the casino and there's just like Tristan Casas in a varsity jacket with a mustache. Like, it's a good time. Yeah. It won't be the same, but it'll still be good to see everyone.
My lasting memory, my last winter weekend at the MGM ever, I was playing roulette and over my shoulder, I hear somebody screaming, "Throw it all on red." And it is Zach Kelly, just, you know, at 2 a.m.
I love it, man. Yeah, you take the casino aspect out of it. That little wrinkle is what adds that special spark to the event. It's not going to quite be the same, but I don't know. It'll still be fun. It'll be better than whatever else you were planning to do on a Saturday that wasn't Fenway Fest. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is for, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I would assume it is probably like 90% more convenient for people to get to Fenway than it
Oh
is for
yeah. Got it. Yeah. 1,000%.
like Connecticut, New Hampshire, probably doesn't matter much, but like Massachusetts wise, people who regularly go to Fenway, it's definitely easier to get to Fenway than MGM.
Yeah. And one thing that hopefully will be attracting people to that event would be if they make one more big signing, one more big acquisition between now and then. I don't know. I mean, MLB has been active. Like, things have been happening. Like Gleyber Torres signed, Corbin Burns signed, Teoscar Hernandez signed. Like, the league is active. I know we haven't gotten as many stories because a lot of the media takes this time off, but the league has been active. And I guess we can start on the, yeah, we'll start with the offensive side of things because I feel like the last time we were on, was the last time we were on the Bueller pod, the emergency pod? Well, we had the Who Says No. Yeah. Okay. Joe says yes.
Yeah. Because we pre-recorded the Who Says No,
Right.
did on, and then the Who Says No like dropped like 4 days after we recorded or whatever it was.
Right. Yeah. We pre-recorded the Who Says No for the holidays. And then we were going to record one to drop Friday. And we were going to record that the night before. But then the Bueller pod happened and nothing else happened in baseball. So we just pushed it to today. But stuff has happened. And I feel like last time we were on discussing actual things that happened, it was a really upbeat podcast because Bueller had signed and it felt like there was just momentum towards that one final thing that they needed, which, I mean, you can make the argument for two. I would make the argument for two because I do think they also need a bullpen arm. But the biggest final thing they need is a legitimate middle of the order right-handed bat. It's something that we all thought they needed last year at this time, and that was with O'Neill in the fold, albeit no rookies were expected to come up besides Cedán Rafaela. Like, you weren't expecting Campbell, Anthony, Meyer due up last year. And like, Campbell wasn't even on anyone's radar last year. So like, from the right-hand side, you really didn't have anything coming, or you didn't think. But this year, I understand there's that wrinkle. So I understand the argument of not necessarily needing two bats. I won't go that far because I really do believe in the guys that are coming, but you do need one. And since we last recorded, Teoscar Hernandez re-upped with the Dodgers, 3 years, $66 million. And obviously the Red Sox were interested there, but it definitely, if you read the tea leaves, read the reporting, there's no one that said that they made a real push for Teoscar. It felt like he was way more on the fans and our radars over rather than the Red Sox. And like, I was doing a Twitter Q&A thing, and people were asking me, who would you have rather, Teoscar or Bregman? And I said I was pretty close between the two, but I slightly leaned Teoscar. Clearly, the Red Sox, I don't think, agree. But that said, and it was the same thing with Gleyber. Like, Gleyber Torres signed with the Tigers. Red Sox interested, but never really got close to serious, never made an offer or anything. But options are dwindling. And the Bregman thing has gone up and down because when Gleyber signed with the Tigers, we got a little. The first thought is, oh, they got their infielder. They're not getting Bregman. Who else is going to get Bregman? But now it seems pretty clear the Tigers are not fully out on Bregman. I still would be a little bit surprised to see them spend another, what, $25 plus million dollars this year when they just spent 15 on an infielder. And the Tigers aren't historically the biggest spenders, especially in recent years. But you've got other teams in the mix. I know people want to say it's kind of down to just the Red Sox, but it's not. I still think the Blue Jays are lurking hard. I still think the Mets are lurking hard. I still would not rule out the Phillies. If they trade Alec Bohm, they're probably getting Bregman. And obviously the Tigers. And it doesn't sound like the Red Sox have been super aggressive on Bregman. I guess, Pat, let's start there. How do you feel about those rumblings that the Red Sox haven't been super aggressive, maybe not even having made an offer on Bregman to this point?
I think it's weird, but also at the same time, like I tweeted the other day, every move so far has kind of been a rapidly progressing kind of done deal. Like there wasn't much smoke. We got nothing as a precursor to Aroldis Chapman. Zero. No, we didn't even get a hint of interest. That deal was done. You had Cotillo, Spear, Finesand, like all these big guns, they haven't even had a conversation about Crochet. 10 minutes later, oh shit, Crochet's a Red Sox. Then you have Walker, which very early on, like kind of around beginning of winter meetings, I think.
David Vasse.
Yeah, like it was like floated. The Red Sox had like reached out to Walker Buehler, but nothing like this is progressing. They really want him, like whatever. Walker Buehler signed. So from the Bregman perspective, do I wish they were a little bit more aggressive? Because I do think Bregman is a world of a difference to this team. Yes. Am I at the point where I'm like, they're out on Bregman, they don't even want him, they're not going to try? No, because we've seen otherwise. We've seen how fast things change under Breslow. So I don't know. We'll see. I think the Glaber thing, personally, I think that was more so, I would imagine, winter meetings when there was a little bit of traction with Bregman and some other places. There was a little bit maybe going back to Houston. Philly was trying to move Bohm. He might have been like their plan C, checked in, where are you at kind of thing. I don't think Glaber was ever really like a plan A, plan B, or like.
No, it wasn't, no way.
Yeah, there's no way. So, I don't read much into that either. People are like, oh, great, Glaber Torres. And it's like, Randall Grichuk's name is out there. You think that's their guy? Like, are you stupid? No.
I guess the thing that scares me a little bit, and I want to preface this by saying I do think they're going to get somebody for it, because generally when Breslow has said we're going to do something, they've done it. Like, we heard a lot of stuff. Like, Pat, you're right. They didn't like, we never heard direct connections to them and Chapman. But what we did hear is that they wanted swing and miss from the left side, and they got it. What we did hear is that they wanted a top of the rotation starter in Crochet. They got it. The thing that makes me a little nervous, though, and the thing I was going to say to preface it, was that I don't think that they would spend the assets that they did to get a Garrett Crochet just to half-ass the offense. Like,
yeah,
you plunged a big chunk of your future into getting Garrett Crochet, who as of today has 2 years of control. Obviously, we all want him extended. He's not extended right now. Right now, he's a two-year pitcher. And you've spent significant prospect capital to get him here for those 2 years. So you can't half-ass those 2 years. And Breslow said it himself. He literally said, this move screams win now. So to do that, you're going to have to fortify the lineup with a legitimate, good, middle-of-the-order right-handed bat. And I think they're going to do it. But the thing that makes me a little bit nervous, specifically as it pertains to Bregman, is with Crochet, what pushed them to get Crochet? It was they lost out on Fried. They were open to doing both, but they lost out on Fried, and that pushed them to really make a push for Crochet. And with Bregman, if he's not their plan A, and based off of the stuff that's out there right now, it I don't get the vibe that he's their plan A. I think he fits them really well. And while his long-term, like we've talked about how the long-term of a Bregman deal is a little bit scary, but for what they need right now, he really does check all the boxes in a way that no one else available does. It does make me nervous that he doesn't feel like he's their plan A. If he's not their plan A, what's their plan A? Because is it Santander? It hasn't felt like it's Santander. If it's not one of those two, is it a trade option? Like, I'll read off some potential trade candidates. Nolan Arenado, Taylor Ward, Luis Robert, Seiya Suzuki, maybe Carlos Correa. I don't want to get too deep into those because I am going to do a Who Says No for dropping. I believe we're going to have that for you guys on the 2nd. So it's Thursday, I believe. We'll have that for you guys. But out of those guys, like I don't know who is a plan A that's not Bregman, but why would they not have an off? Like, why would they not be making a push if their favorite option is out there right now? Like, why? Like, I would think that the only reason to wait on Bregman and not make him an offer, not be aggressive, is because there's something you want more that is a situation that hasn't yet been resolved. But I just don't know what that situation would be.
Well, let me ask you this. What right now should cause them to panic and sign Bregman right now? Because when I'm looking at it, right, I don't think he wants to be in Detroit. That is not a hitter's ballpark, and that's a guy who's played whatever it was, 8-9 years at Minute Maid. Like, that's just South Fenway. Like, that's a hitter's ballpark for a right-handed hitter. Comerica does not do that. Comerica kills his offense big time, especially over the course of a 5-6-7 year contract. I don't think he wants to go there, and I don't think he ends up there. Sure, the Phillies scare the shit out of me.
Their ballpark.
At right this second, they still have Alec Bohm. So until Alec Bohm moves, I don't think the Phillies are a threat. The Mets are scary, but I also think that they have prioritized, at least for the time being, Pete Alonso, and then maybe pivot to Bregman. So those are the teams to me that are you're kind of like in the thick of it with. And they either are kind of out of the running in Detroit, or they have other priorities or other roster crunches to manage. So from the Red Sox perspective, I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea to kind of play chicken, because right now no one's jumping the gun to sign Alex Bregman.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad point, Pat, because you're right. There doesn't seem to be a perfect recipe of team with a bunch of money to spend with a clear opening at third base or even second base with a ballpark that fits them and a bunch of money to spend and a willingness to be aggressive and they're ready to win now and need that. Like, there's only one team that has those sorts of reasons to be desperate, and it would be the Red Sox. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I Carrabba's talks in hypotheticals, so like obviously you listen when he speaks, and like he definitely knows Bregman, but when he says that there's no offer on the table, that like it's like if they were lowballing him, then I'd be a little bit more inclined to think, oh, playing the market out. But not even having an offer on the table, it's like, what, are you just like sitting on your hands doing nothing? No, I think and this kind of stems from a Passan report from like several weeks ago that said that the trade market was heating up way faster than the free agent market. And I know a bunch of free agents have signed since then, but I really am sitting here wondering if we should maybe think towards the trade market a little bit more. I just don't see a perfect fit, because I mean, I tweeted something out about this after Teoscar signed, but there really is no perfect fix for this Red Sox offense this offseason. Certainly not in one player, because they need to improve their contact rate. They need to have someone who can hit lefties. They need to improve their infield defense. Like, there's no one guy that's going to resolve all those things. Like, if you get Bregman, it's like, okay, that helps the defense, that helps the leadership, that helps the contact. But he's not a notorious lefty killer. His profile does not scream guy who's going to be really good 4, 5, 6 years from now. So you would be making that contract for the here and now. You could go the Santander route, and you're getting power, but you're not getting a lefty dominator there. You are getting a guy who doesn't necessarily strike out a ton, and that would be good, but you're not improving the defense. And I can't really speak on his leadership, because I don't know that much about Anthony Santander, the leader, if that's a thing. But like, you could get stuff in those guys. Like, I don't know. Like Teoscar, you would have gotten a lefty masher, but he strikes out a ton. He's a good leader, but he's not going to improve your defense. Like, there is no perfect fit. And obviously, they've got so much coming in terms of these prospects, like three legitimate potential star players ready to make their debuts this year. So you do have to be a little careful with what you do, but you can't leave it bare. You can't do nothing.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. Like, of the available options that we know of, Bregman fills the most holes. If they want, like, that true mash, yeah, I guess go get Anthony Santander, which is a move that I hate.
That's interesting.
Hate that move. But if that's who you think fills out your lineup the best, go for it.
Why do you hate it? Because with Santander, I see you're not alone. There's a lot of people that do not want this guy. And like, obviously, so much of it is going to depend on the price. I don't think he's headed for $100+ million like he was originally projected for. But this is a guy who hit 44 homers last year, doesn't really strike out, hits switch hits, and can hit both sides. Like, it's not like he's one of those switch hitters that crushes one hand and can't really hit the other. No, he hits fairly well against both hands. He's not going to dominate either hand. Obviously, positionally, he's quote-unquote versatile because he can play multiple positions, but he's not a good defender anywhere. But I don't think it would be necessarily a bad move to add him, but if they added Santander for 5 years when you could have had Teo for, I won't say three, because I don't think he takes that deal in Boston. I think you have to give him the fourth year to get him. But like if you could have had Teo for one fewer year and they go Santander for five, like, yeah, I wouldn't love that. But like, nah, Santander's a good player. Tell me why you don't like that idea.
It's better from the left side. First off, which is kind of like redundant on adding the right-handed bat. If he's better on the left side, yeah, like you improve the power that left in Tyler O'Neill. The power aspect of it is legit. Like that fills like a legit need. But he doesn't crush lefties. He's not a high average, high OBP guy. He just doesn't strike out, which is a weird thing. He just, like, to me, remember that year where Jorge Soler had, like, 41 home runs in Kansas City?
That's like, a good point. Guys do that.
Yeah, and, like, he just profiles to me as, like, maybe a little more consistent Jorge Soler. Like, a low average, high power, that's it. Like, you get nothing defensively. It's so bland and, like,
there's also the ballpark fit, Pat. Like,
yeah.
He hits all, like, if you switch Fenway and Baltimore, they're polar opposite parks, at least as of last year. I know they're moving the left field wall back in Baltimore now, but Santander hits most of his homers over the short right field porch in Baltimore. A lot of those are flyouts at Fenway. So, and I know most of that's coming from the right hand side, from his left handed side pulling the ball.
Yeah.
But still, like when he's hitting right-handed, he can pull the ball over the monster. But it isn't a perfect ballpark fit. I do think Bregman. I mean, you're not gonna hear from me that I think Santander is a better fit than Bregman. But that said, you could probably get him for like what, half the financial commitment, maybe less than half the financial commitment.
Yeah, but then I hate that we bring it up every time. But if you're playing the long game, and you're thinking of Vlad, Santander is likely relegated to DH once Roman is up. Or honestly, maybe even Campbell too, because I think Campbell is a corner outfielder. I don't see him as a middle infielder by trade. So it's like, do you really want to allocate all of these resources into like a cookie cutter, low average, high power DH when you could kind of maximize roster flexibility in a guy like Bregman? By the time he's kind of on the decline, at that point, we're talking 3-4 years from now, DH. He goes back to third, way less ground to cover, whatever. It keeps so many doors open to just go with Bregman. Santander just feels like a grasp move. Like, right-handed power, got it. Like, there's no true great roster fit where I'm like, Santander fills this hole. This is a giant hole and Santander fixes it. I just don't see that with him.
Do you feel this? And I agree with you to an extent. Like, you think about the long-term roster fit. It's like, if you want to have Vlad on this team, which obviously we all do, if you have that, you obviously have Devers on the team. You think long-term, he's probably a DH. If you have Santander on the team, it's like long-term, he's probably either a first base or DH kind of guy. I know Fenway left field's a little bit easier to play, but you're not going to have more than probably two of Devers, Casas, Santander, Vlad on your roster long term. Maybe you could make three work for a little bit, but athleticism wise, it's a tough fit. Like, they don't play all 162 games at Fenway. They do play half of them on the road, and yeah, you would have to make it work defensively. My question to you, Pat, and this is a guy that gets brought up occasionally, not in terms of being connected to the Red Sox, because I don't think we've seen him connected to the Red Sox one, or no, Ian Brown brought it up on our show a while back, but we haven't really heard about it since, was the Pete Alonso fit. I'm not a fan of the Pete Alonso fit personally. A lot of that has to do with Vlad. A lot of that has to do with the high strikeouts. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the idea of getting Pete Alonso would be to do it on a shorter term deal with opt-outs. But I hate those deals for QO guys. I hate the idea of giving up the pick for a one-year guy. If I'm giving up the pick, I want it to be for like a franchise kind of guy who's going to be here. But do you feel the same way about Pete Alonso that you do for Santander? Is it kind of in that same realm? I know the ballpark fit is way better for Alonso.
Yeah. Well, he could play Polo Grounds. He's still going to put out 30. It doesn't matter. But yeah, like Pete's another one where like he fills the right-handed power role, which that's a lot of guys. Like that's not like a hard to come by quality. I know the Red Sox obviously don't have one of those right now, but there was like four or five guys on the free agent market alone, not even counting the trade market, that kind of fill right-handed power bat. He gives you nothing defensively. He strikes out so much. Like, if you thought Tyler O'Neill struck out a lot, Pete Alonso is going to blow it out of the water. And then my thing with Pete, too, honestly, if it was not for that postseason home run.
I'm glad you're going there.
This would be a much different conversation. This would be like, oh, maybe he gets like a JD Martinez deal, like 5 for $110, you know, 20, 22 a year. He had, and look, the playoffs do that to guys. Look at Nathan Eovaldi. Look at Walker Buehler. Like
Walker Buehler, yeah.
It's normal. I get it. But they're like, we're talking like him and Scott think he's getting 5 to 6 years at $30 million a year.
Not
happening. So if you're on the, if you're from the Red Sox side of things, what are you going to give him? 4 for $120? No, that is an awful, awful allocation of resources. I don't love the fit of Pete Alonso in a vacuum. You throw in what it's likely going to take to get him away from the Mets. Absolutely not. No shot. No.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan either, Pat. I mean, it would be exciting. Like that he would be a guy that they could market, a guy that we could go into the season and say like, okay, this guy's going to hit behind Devers in the lineup every day. And like, that's great. But you can't just be thinking about 2025. You got to think about the years beyond. And you have your first baseman of the future in house. And in my opinion, that only changes for a special talent. And I think there's only one special talent that could change that in my eyes, and it's Vlad. But every player available right now is such an imperfect fit. And I listed those trade candidates, and like one of the ones who I really like is Luis Robert, but the White Sox are asking a lot for him. And guess what? Even if you get him, he's a really high strikeout guy. So guess what?
Yeah.
You're gonna like, yes, he can help your defense. He can push Sedan into a utility role, which I still think is my favorite option moving forward. But I just, they're going to ask a high price, and you're not going to solve probably your biggest problem of last season. I know the hitting left-handed pitching is a very well-documented issue. If you think down the stretch, like they weren't hitting righties either. And so much of that is because of the strikeout problems. So you really do like that's why all signs really just keep pointing back to Bregman for me. I'm not saying that I think that all those signs pointing back to it means it's going to get done. It just means that in my eyes right now, like, you have a team out there right now that is so close. And like Corbin Burnes signed over the weekend. He signed with the Diamondbacks. He left the Orioles. The Orioles lost him, and all they're going to get back is a comp pick. Okay? He's not coming back. They do not have that frontline ace. Like they're number one right now. You can make the argument between Grayson Rodriguez and Zach Eflin. Like they don't have that guy right now. Their pitching is not better than it is worse than it was a year ago. The easily. Yankees lost Juan Soto, all right? I know they got all these former MVPs, all that. Their accumulated war is less than Soto, and you got to remember, they're replacing other people who accumulated war too. They got worse as well, all right? The two top dogs in the division got worse. The Red Sox, as it stands today, stand to get better, but you got to finish the job. And I'm willing to sacrifice at the back end of a Bregman deal to get it done now. Especially when, if you think about it, having that guy, that undisputed leader, that guy that the kids can go up to, especially when he plays in the infield, he'd be playing right next to one of your prized guys, Marcelo Meyer, maybe two of your prized guys, and Christian Campbell as well. Obviously, he'd be a leader to Roman Anthony. Like, it makes a lot of sense. And it makes a lot more. You go ahead, Pat, because then I'm going to move to the next part, which is where weird part of me thinks that it might be partially what's going on. But you go first, because tell me why you're sold. Tell me anything.
Yeah. And like, I think the big thing with Bregman is like people are so hyper fixated on the back 2-3 years of that deal being really bad. This is why that doesn't really freak me out. It does not freak me out, because look at what Story has been so far. I think Story is a good baseball player. I think when he's healthy, he's a borderline great baseball player. It hasn't killed him. They were still able to extend. They were still able to sign a couple of guys to an extension. Bregman's not going to command the amount of money where you're like, fuck, we are screwed. That's not going to be a thing. Plus, by the time that deal gets bad, you will have Raffy already locked up, Tristan for another year or two, Marcelo, Campbell, Roman, Duran, Rafaela, in their peaks under team control for cheap. That is a contract that at this point in time, you can do. Because, like I said, by the time that contract gets bad, you are still going to have very, very good cheap pieces around them. And he fills every hole aside from power. Veteran leadership, postseason success, infield, defense.
Contact.
Yes. Doesn't strike out. Walks. Across the board, he's checking 9 out of 10 or 11 boxes.
And, Pat, the argument against it is that, like we're talking about with these prospects, there's an argument to be made that as soon as next year, one or multiple of those guys will be producing more at the plate than Alex Bregman. And I understand that. But again, it's in a win now year. I don't want to see them taking chances. They're not taking chances in the rotation. They've got 6 starters, and it looks like they want to enter the year with 6 starters, plus 3 solid depth starters, plus a legitimate former number 2 or 3 starting pitcher coming off Tommy John coming back at the end. They're not leaving anything up to chance in the rotation. I don't think they should do it in the lineup either. I don't think they should.
No, and they've made these aren't moves. Kuroshe absolutely is, especially if you extend them. That is a move for now in the future. You're signing a pretty good chunk of change to Walker Buehler for 1 year. You gave Aroldis Chapman a pretty good chunk of change for 1 year. Everything indicates, we have a core here. We want to extend Crochet, that this is our window kind of thing. But they're also making moves along the margins with Buehler and Chapman that are we're in this year too. We're past the point of 2 years from now when these guys are up, 3 years from now, once our young core is here. The moves are indicating they're in this year. There is no bigger move they can make right this second than signing Alex Bregman to indicate we are all in this year.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yeah, and I guess the other most likely maybe move right now, just based off of the tea leaves we're reading, is Randall Grichuk. And I'm going to go with my soapbox here and tell you why I'm not the biggest fan of... And Randall Grichuk had a really good year last year. Correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was an 875 OPS with an OPS over 900 against left-handed pitching. And he doesn't strike out a ton. I think it was a 16.5% strikeout rate, which is considerably above average. So, by those things, great. Love it. Great. But doesn't hit right-handed pitching super well. If you bring him in here, it feels like he's a platoon. And that's just going off of last year's stats, where he was really good. He's 34. This is not who he's been most of his career. And now in his mid-30s, he has a career year in Arizona. All right, that's great. we don't know that he's going to be able to do that again. I know that Fenway Park is where right-handed hitters go to have career years. I get that. But that's not a guy who you're going to stick behind Devers, certainly not every day, and say, come, pitch to Devers. You can't put him on because he got me behind him. No, it's not going to be like that. He's going to be a platoon, and now you'd have two lineup spots, one for Willier and Ref Snyder with that platoon, and the other one presumably for Yoshida and Grichuk for that platoon. We saw last year what having multiple platoons in the lineup does. Like, I feel like I've said this so many times, but I swear, like, a team would throw a right-handed starter. The Red Sox would pack the lineup with lefties. They would do what they can against the starter. Then in the sixth or seventh, the team throws the lefty starter at all the Red Sox lefties, like Yoshida and Willier. And those guys would then get pinch hit for with guys like Ref Snyder and guys like Romy. And maybe they'd come through, maybe they wouldn't. But if the Red Sox are then losing in the later innings, now the closer comes out and your right-handed closer is now in to face Ref Snyder and Romy, and you don't have anyone else to pinch hit. You can deal with one platoon in the lineup. I think one works. But two platoons, it's tough. It is a tough, like, Alex Cora is as good at managing this as anyone. But if you bring in Randall Grichuk, you're asking for trouble with the two platoon game. You just are. I can't fathom how that is supposed to, like, we need this offense to be better than it was a year ago. It was a problem at the end of the year. They were not good enough at the end of the year. And they lost Tyler O'Neill. How are you going to get better than that?
Yeah. I think, so from my perspective, I think that if they do sign Randall Grichuk, and this could just be me being, I don't know, stupid, optimistic, I don't know. That to me indicates that they expect Roman Anthony to be on the roster either opening day or very early, because Grichuk is a guy that you could pretty comfortably plug in there for Roman against lefties, especially early out the gate when he's still getting used to the majors. My only issue with that is you have Randall Grichuk at home. You have Rob Ref Snyder. They are – Randall for sure has more pop. That I don't think that's even remotely a question anywhere. But if you're talking about numbers against lefties, they're dead even. Rob crushes lefties, plays the same exact positions as Randall. He just doesn't have as much power. And do you really want to allocate these resources into a guy that's a marginal upgrade about a guy you're only paying $3 million?
And it's a roster spot too. It's not even just about the resources. Yeah. Like you've already got a bunch of offensive players, so much so that I still think they could use this. Like, I don't want to say they could use a subtraction, but it's hard to add and then look at where the roster is and say, like, how can you add an outfielder and not trade from your crop of outfielders? How can you add an infielder and not trade like a David Hamilton or a Nick Sogard or a Romy Gonzalez? Like, even I'm not even talking about significant trades. Like, you're going to have to subtract if you add. So if you're adding, and Breslow has said this, which is why it surprised me hearing the Grichuk thing, but he said, like, if we're going to add to this offense, it has to be a big-time talent, because the Red Sox have a bunch of, like, solid, average, slightly above-average talents there. To get this team better, you have to bring in a high-end talent, which is why, again, it just keeps coming back to Bregman for me. And that's from someone who wasn't always the biggest fan of a potential Bregman signing. But this is where you're at. If you want to win now, I don't even see, like, there's not some young controllable bat out there for trade that you could swap like a Willier and a Cutter or something to get this young controllable right-handed bat. It's just not out there on the trade market. So it's kind of what you see is what you get, in my eyes at least. I don't know. Maybe there's something I'm not thinking of. Maybe a guy like Carlos Correa is more available than you think. Hint, might talk a bit about him later this week. But yeah, all the signs keep pointing back to Bregman. It's the easiest solution. It works for now. It works in it. If Yoshida can improve his value and be dumpable with 2 years left on his deal, like, if he has a good year, you'll be able to dump 2 years of his contract. And at that point, you can move Bregman over to third. Devers can move over to be your DH, and you can have Marcelo Meyer be your shortstop or second baseman. We'll see if Story plays well enough to opt out. I'm not going to rule that out. on a per game production wise basis this past season. If he had that season for a full year and he does that this year, he'll be opting out. So, and that's with him not hitting. That's just how good his defense was. So, yeah. And I like to think he'll hit a little bit more. But the Bregman thing, it just makes so much sense. It puts Campbell in left field, which I don't know. Pat, I could see him doing either, and I hope they keep working him at both. But it feels like having that flexibility and having that leadership and that star power, if they did it, the fan excitement for the season would be through the roof. And I know you can't make moves based off of what is going to excite fans for the season, but it would be undeniable. You could make a perfectly good argument that they will win the division if they just get Alex Bregman and maybe one more reliever, swing and miss kind of guy from the right side.
Yeah, I think if they made no other move right now, right? This is the team. This is where they're at. I think they're like an 85 to 88 win team.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, with a healthy Casas, with a healthy Story, Houck not taking a step back, Crochet being what you traded for. Like, a lot kind of goes right there. I think 88 is about your ceiling for the most part. If you add in Bregman, I think you're talking 92 to 94, which is plenty to get into the dance. Like, you are betting odds favorite for one of those wild card spots.
It's not, are you going to get in? It's what spot are you getting in with at that point?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you add Bregman, it's like, okay, are you winning the division, or are you settling for the wild card? Like, it's not like, you know, maybe they squeak in, might be a good team. No, if you add Bregman, they might win the division. They're definitely going to the playoffs. And I think that's what they need to do.
Yeah, I mean, they're this far in. I said at the beginning of the show, how could you invest this much to get Garrett Crochet and not take the plunge to win this season? They've invested a lot of short-term money. Like, it just, I don't know. It makes so much sense to me. I will see if the tone changes on it. Obviously, like you said, Pat, with Crochet, like, nothing doing, and then all of a sudden he was a Red Sox. So
yeah.
I still just fail to see what would need to change to get the Red Sox to make that push. Maybe there's something that we're not thinking of. I don't know. We're going to find out. I hope that our schedule once again gets uprooted and we have an awesome emergency podcast to record, and we'll drop it midweek. Who knows? Like, didn't they sign Lucas Giolito like on December 30th last year or something? Like, or no, that was the sale trade, I think, was on the 30th, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it not the same day? Or was it? Oh, it was like a day apart, right?
Yeah, it was one day apart. We were going to record a Giolito emergency pod, and then we couldn't all line up, and we're like, okay, we'll do it the next day. And then Sale got traded. It's like, all right, we got double trouble. So yeah, I mean, hopefully something happens. They're gonna do something on the offense. I still think they're not done in the bullpen, though. You could make the argument that if you have all six starters healthy, that one of those guys going into the bullpen could be the addition. But maybe what that's the other thing, six-man rotation, that idea got floated out over the weekend by Alex Speer, and you're rolling your eyes. But I don't take it as full-time six-man rotation, because we know that doesn't work. Full-time six-man rotation is something that you only do out of necessity, in my opinion, when you have a, like, the team that gets Roki Sasaki should do it, because that's what the Japanese pitchers pitch once a week in Japan. So throwing them on a instant five-man rotation schedule is tough. The Red Sox, I don't know if you know this, Pat, they're not going to end up with Roki Sasaki.
What?
So, yeah, that's breaking news from Play Tessie. They're not going to end up getting Roki Sasaki. That said, the six-man rotation idea kind of intrigues me only in spots. The stat that Speer had was that no team had more pitchers throwing on just 4 days rest than the Red Sox did last year. So, yeah, in spots, like, if all six guys are healthy, throw one of them in there for a day to get guys rest, like, again, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Like, the teams that are at their best are the teams that are able to keep their pitching fresh in October. We saw it last year with the Red Sox. Their pitchers were exhausted by June and July. So I think it is a good strategy. It's not something I'd use full time. If they tried that, I wouldn't be for it. It shortens the bullpen, and you have a bunch of guys who have not necessarily been 7-plus inning guys. Like, if you have starters going 7-8 innings every single time, maybe you could do it. But that's not what this team has been. So full-time, not the biggest fan of it, but in spots, yeah, I think it's a great way to keep guys fresh. I want to see them skip starts. Like, as frustrating as it's going to be to get that Twitter notification of Red Sox skipping Garrett Crochet's start this week to get him rest, it's going to be good for him long-term. It's going to be good for the team long-term. I think if you have healthy pitching, it's an advantage that the Red Sox can use to do it. But again, I saw your eye roll. I assume that you're rolling your eyes about doing it full-time. I agree. Don't do that.
Yeah. I know you haven't listened to it yet, but it'll come out by the time ours comes out. If not, we can chop it out. But Rob had Giolito on, and I listened to it right before I recorded, and he hates the idea.
Ooh.
And he was bringing up points that I never really thought of. He was like, pitchers are creatures of habit. He was like, when I'm rolling, he was like, 4 days rest is perfect. Like, it's enough to recover, throw a little bit. Like, you get into this rhythm. And when you're rolling, you want it to keep rolling. And when you have an extra day thrown in there, yes, hypothetically, health-wise, yeah, it helps. Obviously, you're not throwing as many pitches. But in terms of a result standpoint, a feel standpoint, a rhythm standpoint, it's really not all that beneficial unless you really need to skip a start. So, and Gordon, like you said, if they do it, like, they have a stretch of 14 games in 15 days, yeah, throw Cutter out there for one, bump everybody back a day. That's cool. But if you're doing, like, consistently, not even like a full-blown six-man rotation, but like a five-man 1 week, a six-man the next, I hate it. I truly hate it because you want Crochet, right? Let's say Crochet is 2018 Chris Sale. You want that guy on the mound as often as you can because he is that good. You feel so good with a guy like that on the mound. You run a six-man rotation, you're seeing less of that, and that kills you in the long term.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Pat, you make good points. It's interesting hearing those thoughts from Giolito. If that pod's not out yet, then consider this a promo to go listen to that pod when it does drop, because Lucas Giolito, great interview when he jumps on. I talked to him with Rob earlier in the offseason. He's great. So, and really insightful and willing to share his opinions. He's not guarded. Like, he's great. I do think that the better use of this would be the skipped start, the injured list or the fake injured list if need be, if you want to get guys extended rest. Like, I agree it's a little bit wishy-washy to just run six-man, non-six-man, six-man, non-six-man. But I do like the idea of being flexible with how you use your six starters. I really like last year, Brian Baio, in the middle of the summer, they skipped his start after a really bad one against Toronto, came back against Miami his next start, and that jump started his great second half. So when guys aren't going right, getting a start skipped is a really good way to give them extra time, work on their stuff, work with Bailey, work with the run prevention unit, and work out some kinks, because sometimes if you're not going right, those 4 days fly and it feels like you're right back on the mound. So yeah, if you're rolling, like, yeah, keep it going. Like, don't mess with the guys when they're rolling, but more likely than not, you're going to get injuries. This whole idea of the six man is not going to be as in play as we would hope it would be, because pitchers get hurt. You're going to have someone on the Red Sox in their starting rotation miss extended time with an injury this year. It's just how it works, and you just got to hope that it's not multiple guys. Pat, any thoughts on that, or do you want to hit enough said?
No, I think that kind of covers it. Like, circumstances, yeah, throw it out there, use it. Use it to your advantage. Don't make it like a tactic. Don't make it a thing. If guys need to switch a start, sure, go for it. Do whatever. Do not, for the love of God, run a six-man rotation, please.
Yeah, certainly not out the gate and not...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Consistently. Minos said really just a quick one is farewell Mickey Gasper. Didn't get his hit, 0 for 18. That trade happened so long ago, we just haven't jumped on since it. But yeah, farewell Mickey Gasper. Was shocked the Red Sox were able to even get anything from him, to be honest with you. Felt like a DFA candidate, maybe. I know he had a really good minor league season last year, but you can only have so many guys on your 40-man roster. It's 40. That's the number. And to sign guys, you got to DFA guys, you got to get rid of guys. And I was pleasantly surprised that they were able to get a left-handed pitcher with previous major league success that's not going to take up a 40-man spot, was good as recently as 2022. He was good in 2022, pitched in 2023, missed 2024. Giovanni Moran is the name, Moran, probably how you pronounce it. But yeah, he's shown some good stuff from the left side, has a good changeup, really not much else, but the changeup's kind of been able to carry him. Don't really need to know too much about him until he makes an appearance for the Red Sox, but yeah, just was surprised that they got a lot for Gas, or they got anything for Gasper, and was sad that his parents showed up to so many games just to not see him get a hit. Pat, you muted?
Incredibly awkward. Yeah, I was. I was saying so long, farewell, Mickey.
Yeah.
Listen, this comes from the bottom of the heart. Drew Locke and Malik Nabers. Next time you're in Boston, drinks on me. Because the Pats, as things stand right now, number one pick in the draft, because Drew Locke turned into Tom Brady and Malik Nabers turned into Randy Moss. So I am horrified about the game next week.
That's what I was about to say. Like, does this scream that they're gonna come out and win that game next? Like, the Bills are gonna bench their guys and the Pats are just gonna be like, yeah, let's get it.
Yeah, and like, that would just be the cherry on top of a Gerard Mayo season.
Like, I know, right? Just
completely bend his team over and fuck them for the future by losing that pick, because he was like a pride thing. Let's out end on a high note, and they just completely screw themselves. So here's the hoping. I don't know. Drake May, rolls his ankle going down the stairs. Week.
Just sit him. Sit every. Come on. Just sit the guys. Come on.
He told you he got his bell rung last week. Don't. No need to. No need to push it. He showed enough. Sit him. Let Joe Milton go out there. No. Better. Let Jacoby Brissett go out there. Jacoby Brissett. Mitch Trubisky. Let's see it.
Earn your next contract.
You want another punching bag for Brissett? He was probably sitting on the side like, oh, I thought I was done with this.
Yeah, no. Jacoby's on a 1-year deal. Send him out there.
Joe, you got enough said before we get out of here?
I actually do, because so this past week I was filling in on EEI with KJ Lyons, and we've hit on this clip really quick. I want to share this. It's Cam Newton, speaking of the Patriots, our old friend, and he had a very interesting take, I guess you could say, on where the game of baseball is. So just take a listen to a couple seconds of this.
Baseball is like a dying sport. I think baseball will be surpassed by WNBA in 20 years. Baseball ain't even being played by Americans anymore.
Okay, so two things on this. Number one, I think it's a ludicrous take by Cam Newton. And two, which is the overall point I want to make, is that analysts like Cam Newton and Shannon Sharp and Paul Pierce, guys who are on these like debate shows on like ESPN or Fox or whatever, stick to your sport. No one's listening to Shannon Sharp talk about what's going on in the NBA or Paul Pierce talk about what's going on in the NFL. So that's just my overall thought on this.
I just feel like Cam hasn't watched baseball, and like, that's okay. You're right, Joe. He shouldn't be talking about it. Like, if you want to watch the games and tell me your thoughts on the games that you're seeing and tell me how to improve the sport, go for it. But The truth is, baseball has had a couple of really good years. Like, this potential impending lockout before 2026 is such a bad idea because baseball's had so much momentum. Their World Series ratings were through the roof. The rule changes in the pitch clock and maybe to an extent the banning of the shifts, but I really think it's the pitch clock. Like, baseball is doing really well right now. And he says it's going to be surpassed by the WNBA, but the NBA is having declining ratings right now. I know they did well on Christmas, but like the World Series did better than the NBA Finals. And like, come on, Celtics fan here. Like, I want as many people watching my team win a championship as possible. But the truth is, the World Series outrated it. Baseball's in a good spot. I like, okay, Cam, you don't watch baseball. That's okay.
Yeah. Anytime like this conversation comes up from a guy like Cam Newton, I just always circle, I forget what year it was, but Colin Cowherd tried to talk baseball. And he had brought up trading like 3 first round picks for Mike Trout. And people are like,
I'm pretty sure he did the same for like Otani or not too long ago.
Yeah. It was Trout or Otani, one of them. And people were like, have you ever like followed the MLB? And it's like, they just say stuff to say stuff. I'm a guy who doesn't watch college football. For all I know, college football is on the biggest decline across every sport in the world. I wouldn't know. I don't watch it. That's why I don't talk college football. Like, I just don't, because I don't know.
So he thinks he'll win the national championship then?
I don't even know who's in it.
I think Oregon. I think enough to hold a conversation. I would never use my platform to discuss college football because
it just makes it. You risk looking stupid when you do it, and they constantly, and Stephen A. does this with baseball too. They just, it's so clear that they don't know the game, and that's okay. But don't try to talk about what you don't know. Instead, you've got good people at your company. I know not as many as they used to because they've fired a lot of people over there. And across a lot of media networks they have. But like, you've got like Jeff Passan, Carl Ravitch, like there's a gazillion. I don't know who's the guy with the voice, the funny voice. He's got the frog in his Eduardo Perez, great baseball mind. I hate that I prefaced that by kind of making fun of his voice because he's great. But like, you've got people at the company, like ask them to do segments. Don't do them yourselves. Ask those guys. They're great. They should use Jeff Passan more.
Yeah. He's great. He's great on those SportsCenter segments. Why not throw him in there on a get up or a first take?
Yeah, they should. And the clips, every Passan clip where he drops a nugget goes viral. I don't know why they wouldn't want it. Like, yeah, I know nothing beats NBA Twitter, but like baseball Twitter had some fun this offseason.
Yeah. I did have one very, very quick, enough said kind of thing. Shout out to Tyler Milliken, because at 4:28 p.m., Bob Nightingale tweeted, rest in peace, President Jimmy Carter. 4:29, 60 seconds later, Milliken quote tweets it, somewhere Nicholas Castellanos just went deep.
And shout out to the guy in your comments who said that one of Sammy's classmates died today. That was great.
We had a listener of the week. That's our guy.
Hold on. I want to give this guy a shout out. I'm going to find the screenshot.
Jacob Cleverly. Shout out Jacob. To Jacob. Sad to see one of Sammy's classmates go.
Shout out to you, Jacob. That was funny as hell. we'll end it on that. We appreciate you guys tuning in to episode 165? Of Play Tessie. God damn, we've recorded a lot of these things. But yeah, subscribe, rate 5 stars wherever you get your podcast. Do it everywhere. Find us on YouTube on the WEI channel. Play Tessie playlist has all of the episodes there. Hit the thumbs up on those videos. Comment, subscribe to WEI. And as always, find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. For Pat and for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for this edition of Play Tessie. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
We'll be right back.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.